Okay, so last week we were discussing the Shita of the Rambam. I just want to discuss that for another couple of minutes, and then we'll move on to the next Gemara, which is very much related. So again, or just talk about a couple of issues before we move on to the next Gemara, actually. But so what we were discussing was the position of Rabbi Acha Barei de Rabbi Ika, who says here on Gimel Amud Aleph that when it comes to Hodos, V'halvos, I'm just going to read them again very quickly. Unlike Rava, who said that Minat Torah, everything requires three Dayanim Smuchim, but Midrabanan, Hodos, V'halvos, can be accomplished with Gimel Hedyotos. And then with the whole discussion that we had a couple of weeks ago, you know, about the relationship between Milas Teles and Shlichusayu, and what Shlichusayu is, very important. But unlike Rava, Rav Acha Barei de Rabbi Ika thinks that the difference between Hodos, V'halvos, and Zelos, V'chavalos, and Knossos, and so on, is not just Midrabanan, but it's Minat Torah. And that you could actually get away with one Dayan Minat Torah. So that's what Rav Acha Barei de Rabbi Ika says. And the requirement of three Dayanim Hedyotos is a Din Drabanan. So Rav Acha Barei de Rabbi Ika says the Gemara, Amar midoraisa chadnami kosher. One dayan is enough. Shenemar b'tzedek tishbot amisacha. Because the language, the dictuk here, tishbot, means one, right? You. Ela mishim yoshvei kronos. Because of yoshvei kronos, meaning people who are not qualified to be dayanim, people who just sit around, you know, they're available, but we don't necessarily want them to be dayanim. So mishum yoshvei kronos, we were worried that you wouldn't get the one dayan that you need, the qualified dayan. Therefore, they made a prerequisite of three. So the Gemara says, atu betlasa milav yoshvei kronos. And if you require three, that means you're going to guarantee that you're going to get the one who is qualified and worthy. So the Gemara says, yefshar deleis buchad the Gamir. Very fascinating line in the Gemara. We discussed this already as well. Different interpretations, what it might mean. That if you have three, you're going to get one who is a Gamir. I was suggesting that there's kind of a psychological, you know, aspect to this. In other words, if everybody can put up their, you know, their own shingle, you know, and make themselves into a Dayan, you know, that's one thing. If you have to sit with two other people, then, you know, there's a certain, you know, honesty that becomes transparent, at least within that group, you know, and if somebody's really not qualified, so he's less likely to want to expose himself in that way, both for purposes of embarrassment and also responsibility and so on. Either way, the Gemara says if you have three, you'll get one. So then the Gemara says, "Ela me'ata tola yishalmu." Shall we also go as far as to say that if there's a mistake, that there'll be no liability in terms of malpractice? The Gemara says, "Kolshkin de nefisha yoshvei kronos." No, we don't want to go that far because we're concerned that if you disrupt the ecosystem too much, as we discussed, so you get the reverse result. Meaning, if there are no stakes because there's no liability, so then, once again, you're going to attract unqualified judges because they have nothing to lose. Even if they render an absurd decision, right, they're still not going to be disciplined in any way. So then the Gemara says, Ma'ika ben Rav l'Racha ben Rav Ika, Ika ben Ayu damar Shmuel, Shnaim shedanu dinei emdim, El shenikru bezdin chotzuf, L'Rav alei slay de Shmuel, L'Rav Acha ben Rav Ika, Islay de Shmuel. So the Gemara says, the nafkamina between Rav and Rav Acha ben Rav Ika is what about a bezin of two? Shmuel says that that's a proper bezin. It's a bezin chatzuf, meaning he's not praiseworthy, but it is a bezin. Chachamim disagree, and the Gemara thinks that that depends on Rav Acha ben Rav Ika and Rav. Okay, that's a shock of a tari. So there are two issues that we've been discussing. One is lahalacha. Three issues. Do we paskin like Rav, or do we paskin like Rav Acha ben Rav Ika? That's number one. Number two, what are the dayanim hedyotos that you require? What level? Question number two. Question number three, to make sense out of the Shitas HaRambam regarding Rav Acha ben Rav Ika. So let's just, most of these most of the last issue we've discussed, and some of the other two we still have to fill in. So regarding the Rambam issue, before we get to the Rambam issue, do we paskin like Rava or Ravach or Ben Ravika? So most of the Rishonim paskin like Rava. The Rabbeinu Chananel paskins like Ravach or Ben Ravika. The An Rama is very upset about. The Rambam also seems to paskin like Ravach or Ben Ravika, as we discussed in Perek Beis Halacha Yud, right? That's the first Rambam, where we already get into trouble, where the Rambam says, Afal Pishen Bezdin Pachas Mishlosha Mutal Echad Ladur Minat Torah Shenemar B'tzedek Tishbot Amisecha. That's Ravach or Ben Ravika. So the Rabbeinu Chananel and the Rambam paskin like Ravach or Ben Ravika, most Rishonim paskin like Rav. The question is, if you really paskin like Ravach or Ben Ravika, according to the Rambam, so then why all the hedging? Because the Rambam says, Afal pi shein bezdin pachas mishlosha, that sounds like a three-man bezdin is a definitional requirement. Then the next sentence he's saying, a bezdin requires three, and one works. That's a stir minei ubei. Right? And then he says, Medivrei sofer madshir shlosha, Ushnaim Shadanu Aindinaim Din, so he paskins against Shmuel. But the Gemara said if you paskin like Ravach or Ben Ravika, you should paskin like Shmuel. So in this one Rambam, which is a very short Rambam, not very short, but it's a pretty short Rambam, there are already potentially three contradictions. And the Nosei Kelim called the Rambam out on it. He said it seems to paskin the wrong way on Shmuel, and he seems to contradict himself just in terms of whether he does or does not hold Ravach or Ben Ravika. Then, again, in Halacha Yad Aleph, the Rambam repeats the seeming contradiction, right? Echad shayimum chal rabi monato rishus mi bezdin harizem mutter ladun yechidi avleinu chashuv bezdin. Why is he not chashuv bezdin if it's mutter ladun yechidi? And then, of course, you had Halacha, Perakei Halacha Yud Ches, where the Rambam says that yachid shayimum chal rabi mafi shudan dini mamnes yechidi ein haudah b'fanav haudah b'bezdin. But if you're moda in front of a yachid mum chalarabim, that's not considered a proper hodah. Afilo haya samuch, even if you had smicha. Aval hashlosha, afal pishen smuch and arein nejotos, vein nikar belehim are hodah bifneim hodah bebezdin. But a three-man hidyotos is going to be preferred to a one-man samuch, and hodah will work. So, I mean, if we paskin like a Ravach or Ben Ravika, what's the problem? And indeed, I should mention that the Rush, also quoted by the Tur, says explicitly, if you're moda in front of a Yachid Mumcher, or Yachid Mumcher Rabim, certainly, that the Hodah is effective, because if you paskin like a Ravach or Ben Ravika. So we have all sorts of contradictions, and then, finally, Perakei Halacha Ches, the last Rambam that I quoted here, where the Rambam quotes the din of Shlichusayu, for hodos for halvos. So if you hold like Rava, Shlichusayu makes a lot of sense because Rava says minat Torah you need smuchim, and midrabanan get away with hedyotos, and maybe that's a form of Shlichusayu, right? Because you need smuchim and you don't have them. How does that even work? The answer is Shlichusayu demumchim. But if you hold like the Rambam, like a Ravach or Ben Ravika, and hodos for halvos do not require three smuchim. Right, they only require one, especially if it's only one hedyot. So where's the shlichusayu? So what's the Rambam even talking about? So all these questions are questions that were asked. Some were asked by Rishonim, by the Tshuvas HaRashba, which is the next piece that we read already, by the Chiddush Aran. Some were asked by the Mefarshim on the Rambam, the Kesef Mishnah, the Radvaz, the Lechem Mishnah. Some people, the Ramach, in terms of Rishonim, some people asked, all the questions. Some people asked some of the, most people asked some of the questions. But these are all questions that are applicable. And what we saw is that the Rishonim, the Rajba and the Ran, say their answer to everything is the Rambam is speaking on two levels, on a Daraisa level and on a Darabanan level. What he means is that Minat Torah we paskin like Ravach or Ben Ravika, and therefore Yochid is a Dayan. And that dayan is a dayan l'chol advarim, including hoda'ah, and you wouldn't require shlichusayu, minat Torah, or whatever that means anyway. You know, from that perspective, in odos v'halvos. However, midivrei sofrim midrabanan, the key line to emphasize in their reading is midivrei sofrim ad shiyu shlosha is not a statement only about, you know, the contrast to the daraisa. What they really mean to say is that this drabanan was made a firm drabanan with demands. In other words, we tend to think when we talk about this is what you give daraisa. And this is the drabanan. So we think of the drabanan as you know that's the chiddush, but of course the real din is the doraisa. And on a certain level, that's of course true. What these mefarshim are saying is no, that's not what happened here. Midaraisa, this is the halacha. It's not that midrabanan, this is the fallback. Midrabanan, they created a new reality. They said midrabanan that a bezdin needs three, and if you don't have three, then just the fact that doraisa works is irrelevant now. And that's why Shmuel's din, Shnayim Shadadu Dineim din, also is not going to work for Avacha Brei Dervika. Because this requirement of three, right, in Midivrei Sofrim, is a very firm requirement. And it even negates Shmuel on a Drabanan level. Either Gemara said that it's... So either the Gemara didn't mean Lahalacha, or somehow... The Rambam felt that there were other Gemaras that overruled this Gemara and felt that the Drabanan was such that it's Koveya to exclude Shmuel. That's one general approach. The other approach is the one that we were happier with, which we were pursuing, and which partly is said by the Ksos and the Sivos, and that is that really what the Rambam is saying to begin with is very subtle. The Rambam is basically telling us there are two different issues here. One is din, or hora, and the other is chetza shel bezdin. And it's very meduyak in the language of the Rambam. That's what the Rambam means when he says, Ava pishen bezdin pachos mishlosha, that's doraisa. Anytime in a Torah you're looking for a bezdin, you need three. Right? But, mutar le'echad ladun min a Torah. Not to be a bezdin, but to render hora din. Shenemar b'tzedek tishpot hamisech. And then again, midivrei sofrim ad shiyu shlosha, even for the din. And that's why I think the Rambam also says, shnayim shadanu, ein dineim din. I think it's working off of the Shmuel line in the Gemara, because Shmuel says, dineim din, why? Shenikru bezdin chatzuf. And what the Rambam is saying is, even though we paskin like Rav Acha Brei Dervika, in the end of the day, that helps you for din. It doesn't help you for a bezdin, and for shmuel, still wrong. Now, what about the Gemara? So we'll get back to that in a second. That's the next halach on the Rambam 2, where he says, Echad eimum chal rabim, onot rishas mi bezdin, mutar lodun yechidi. Lodun yechidi doesn't mean you're a bezdin. It means you can render din. Aval eino chashuv bezdin. The words are perfect. Okay. Then,
So what can't you do?
So that's Perakei Halacha Yud Ches, where the Rambam says Yachid Shemum Chal Rabim Afi Shudon Din Imam Nes Yachidi. Once again, he can be done, but Eina Hoda Bifanav Hoda Bebezdin Afilo Yisamuch. If you're talking about an action that is done in the presence of Bezdin, not Bezdin Paskening, but Bezdin as a presence, that's Bezdin as a Chetzah Shel Bezdin, right? That you need three. So if you're to be a du hoda in the presence of Yachid Mumcha, that's not a hoda bebezdin. That's exactly what the Rambam is saying. Aval ashlosh alfa bishen and smuchin varin ediotos, eino yikori behem Elohim, hare hoda bifnehem, hoda bebezdin. Right? That's what he's saying. And the same thing is true kofar. Kofar bifnehem, v'yachak bo eidim huchzak kafar. As I said, the din of huchzak kafar is an interesting din. It basically says the following. You make a statement in the presence of a bezdin, we're holding you, all things being equal, to that statement. So, kol omar lo lavisi, ki ilo omar lo paraiti. If you said, you know, I didn't borrow money, you know, and then two witnesses came and they said, he sure did. We were there, we saw the transaction. He says, I meant I paid it. Right? Kol omar lo lavisi, ki ilo omar lo paraiti. That's called huksa kafra. Other case of Husa Kafir. Husa Kafir is a din in Kfira Bifnei Bezdin. Just like Hoda is a din in Hoda the Bezdin. Oh. So also that explains the issue of Shlichus Hayu, because what we might be explaining is that wherever you need a Bez Din, right, you need Gimel, maybe we even need Gimel Smuchim in a Torah. So for that you need Shlichus Hayu. Right? Okay. Anyways, and then I was trying to explain what do you do with the Gemara. So the Or Sameach and the Nesivos think that the Rambam's Yachid Mumcha, who's done Yechidim in HaTorah, is a Samach. I don't believe that's based on the Diuk that we just read in Perakei Halacha Yud Ches. I personally don't believe it, even though Rabbeinu Chananel does hold that way. And there is always, you know, in the history of Halacha, you know, the Rambam was very independent, so he doesn't. He's a maverick thinker. He doesn't have to, you know, follow anybody. But if you're talking about, you know, law, what we call, you know, lines of transmission, I guess, you know, it's the Rabbeinu Chananel, the Rif, you know, the Rambam. They're in the same world at least, and then the Rambam can tweak whatever he wants. But the idea that, you know, we paskin like Rav Acham Ben Ravika, which the Rabbeinu Chananel holds, that happens to be Shitas Rambam, that's not a coincidence. The Rach also thinks that the Yachid Mumcha here is a Samuch. So that would give greater credence to the idea, they don't say it, of the Or Sameach and the Nesivos, that the Rambam's Yachid is also a Samuch. But I personally just don't think he went that far in this case. So how do we explain the discrepancy? So what I wanted to explain last time was that maybe it's connected to another issue. There's a debate in the Gemara whether Rav Acha Breid Ravika in the Gemara is based on the principle of Eir Parshios Kasuv Kan or Ein Eir Parshios Kasuv Kan. Now, what that literally means is when the Torah speaks about you know, one topic, should we assume that, you know, Huadin, basically, that it's Mu'urav, it's all mixed in, you know, and the standards here apply to the standards there. So the Gemara at the beginning of the Sugya said, according to Rabbah, Minat Torah, Erev Parshios Kasuv Kan. If you need three, Elohim, 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 if you need three smuchim in Knossos and Exelos and Chavalos, then you probably need a Minat Torah and Odos Valvos too. Erev Parshios Kasuv Kan. But now, when Rav Acha Breid Ravika breaks from Rava and says, Minat Torah, there's a difference between Odos Valvos and Exelos and Chavalos, what does he hold about Erev Parshios? Does he hold that the difference applies despite Erev Parshios? Or that the difference applies because we don't hold Erev Parshios? So if you look at Rashi, Rashi says there's no Erev Parshios, according to Rav Acha Breid Ravika. Look at Rashi, Dibra Maschil, Midaraisa Chadna Mikasher, Behodov Avod, Dechsiv, Tishbot, Loshon Yachid, the Ein Erev Parshios, Kosuv Kan. But if you look at Tosos, Tosos says, it's an interesting question. See, the problem is this. What motivated Rashi to say that it's against Erev Parshios? Because there are discrepancies between Minat Torah, between Odos Valvos and Zeus Vachavalos. If we really held Erev Parshios, then the standards of one should apply to the other. So it must be Ein Erev Parshios. On the other hand, Tosus is saying, so if it's Ein Erev Parshios, so why do you need a Pasuk B'tzedek Tishbot Amisacha? To say that the requirement of three smuchim is mentioned in the Parsha of Gzelos V'Chabalos, Ve'ein L'Chabo El'Chidusho. I think you could get out of that question very quite easily, actually, but, yeah.
Why would you think the default would be one?
Why would you think what?
The default would be one.
I guess the minimum. Or maybe because in Isra B'Heter you have one. I'm not sure. It's a good question. In a way, this is part of the discussion that Rabbeinu Chananel has with the Ramah, but on the other side of it. The other way. The Ramah has with Rabbeinu Chananel. The Ramah says to Rabbeinu Chananel, not really, because they lived in different generations, but meaning the Ramah commenting on Rabbeinu Chananel's view that A, we paskin like a Rav Acha Ravika, B, that Yachid Mumcha is a Yachid Samuch. So the Ramah says, I don't understand, Miman of Shach. Is there Erev Parshios? Then there should be three smuchin. If there's no Erev Parshios, then, you know, why should the one be a Samuch? It should be a one hedgehog. In a way, he's saying, go for broke, right? you know, let it have the minimum of standards. I think that the answer, Rabbeinu Chananel, you know, would respond to the Rama is, you don't need Erev Parshios for Smuchim. Because once you know Smuchim, it becomes like a core definitional requirement. And obviously the Rama didn't think so. Similarly, I would say the same thing, you know, maybe that's a discussion, you know, with Rashi and Tosis. Maybe what Tosis is saying is, you need B'tzedek Tishpat HaMisecha, because otherwise we would have thought that even without Erev Parshios, three Dayanim, Smuchim, Minechatz Shel Bezdin, and Smuchim, Ish Mipiish, that's the minimum Hagdara of a Bezdin. Oh. So what I want to say is something a little different, but based on this. The Rambam generally says Erev Parshios. But maybe the idea is that the Rambam thought in this Gemara ain't Erev Parshios. But Lahalacha, Erev Parshios. Ah, so how does that help us? This is what I was trying to explain at the end of last time. It helps us in the following way. If you hold, let's go back to the question we've been discussing. When we say that a Yachid Mumcha, according to Rav Acha Brei Ravika, a one-man Bezdin, or not a one-man Bezdin, that's halachically inaccurate. Rather, a Horah, despite the absence of a Bezdin. Correct? Subtle difference, but an important difference, right? Oh. So maybe that gufa depends on Erev Parshios. Meaning, if you hold Erev Parshios, what does Erev Parshios mean? That the material found in this particular section of the Torah, Exodus Chavalos, applies to other areas of Halacha too. You don't say Ein Lecha Ela Chidusha, right? So what would that mean? That to be a Bezdin, what do you need? Gimel Smuchim. And if you don't have Gimel Smuchim, you don't have a Bezdin. So how does that sustain Rav Acha Brei Ravika? So the answer is, if you hold Ein Erev Parshios, so what we're saying is, who told you a Bezdin in Gzeros V'Chavalos is a Bezdin in Hodos V'Havos? Ein Erev Parshios. Right? But if you hold Yesh Erev Parshios, so that means a Bezdin in one area of Halacha should be a Bezdin in another area of Halacha, unless it's explicit otherwise, right? That's true. But who told you that you always need a Bezdin? Maybe Hodos V'Havos has another Halacha, not a different definition of Bezdin, but the idea that Lifamim, occasionally, you can get away without a Bezdin just on the basis of Horah. You can pull a card out of the Isur V'Heter deck, you know, for certain kinds of mishpat, basic mishpat, hodos v'avos, where you're just presiding over his own commitments. You're not being mechadesh, tachlumin, or chiyuvim, you know, you're just making sure that the commitment that he made, he follows through on. If that's the case, you could say Erev Parshios applies. It teaches us the din of Gimel Dayanim Smuchim as a Chatzashel Bezdin. But Betzedek Tishbar Amisacha teaches you something, not a steer to Erev Parshios. It says that Hodos V'Havos is another option. Namely, Torah, din.
So where does Erev Parshios apply?
Erev Parshios applies to teach you whatever you need, a Bezdin, that you need Gimel Smuchim. That's exactly what the Rambam says. If you need a Hodah, Bifnei Bezdin, or if you need Huchsa Kafran, then you need a Bezdin. Yochim Mumcha, Rav Acha Brei Ravika doesn't work for that. Now, if that's the case, so then the Rambam's whole distinction between Hora'ah and Bezdin comes dafka from the transition from Ein Erev Parshios to Yesh Erev Parshios. But then you can understand also why that affected the din of Shmuel. Because the Gemara says, if you hold like Rav Acha Brei Ravika, then you should hold like Shmuel, that Shnayim Shadanu are a Bezdin Chatzuv. Right? So the Rambam says, that's when the Gemara was Aliba Deman Damar Ein Erev Parshios. Which means that we're struggling for the definition of Bezdin, and we're saying, a Bezdin in Gzeilus V'Chavolos is not the same as a Bezdin in Hodos V'Avos. L'may Nafkamina, Shnayim are considered a Bezdin Chatzuv, in Hodos V'Havos. However, L'Halacha that we pass in, Eruv Parshios, And the tzedek, Tishbara Mitecha, is not teaching you a new definition of Beis Din. What's it teaching you? Just that din works also, even though it isn't the Beis Din. So then, Shmuel's still not going to work. Because to be a Beis Din Chatzuv violates the conditions of Erev Parshios. So that's why the Rambam paskins that Shnayim Shadanu is not a Beis Din, even though Yachid Mumche is done. Okay, so that's the time. Now this idea that there might be a difference between Beis Din and Hora might also be applicable to some other Rishonim, not just the Rambam. It explains a lot of the Rambam, but it might explain also something in other Rishonim. And particularly, if I'm right, anybody who holds that Eruv Parshios is compatible with Betzedek Tishbot Amisacha, right, would be amenable to this kind of distinction. So, is it a coincidence that the Balei Tosfos, who are amenable to Betzedek Tishbot Amisacha and Eruv Parshios together, that's the little Tosfos that we just read, one more time, Ubidaraisa chad nami kasher pirsh bakuntus kasavar ene Eruv Parshios ksivkan. The kasher dimke betzedek tishbot lama the kachnira filo leman disle Eruv Parshios kamar. Tosa says no. Eruv Parshios, but betzedek tishbot. So how does it work? Maybe the answer is, it works on the basis of hurrah, even though it isn't a bezdin. So how would that express itself? Well, in the Rambam would express itself in terms of Hosakafron, Hoda'a, things like that. Shlichosayu, right? What about Tosas? So look at the Tosas de Ramaskol, Lirava Leisle de Shmuel. Okay? Everybody with me? Lirava Leisle de Shmuel. Tosas says, Bahag, Bahalachas Gedolos, Posei Kishmuel. The Baal Lachas Gedolos paskins like Shmuel that Shnayim Shadanu Dineim Din Ela Shenikra Bezim Chatzav Af Al Pi De Rava Poleg Alei. Even though Rava seems to be against it, according to this Gemara says it depends on a Rava versus Rav Acha Brei Darvika. Even though it's against Rava, Bahag paskins this way. Why? Mishum Rav Nachman Koy Kavasei LeKamon. Because Rav Nachman held this way. Good. So then he asks, but it seems to be against an explicit Gemara, because the Gemara says, "Hod Amar beperik beis tiksubis, gabi gimel sheyashvu lekayim es hashtar." You have a three-man bezdin, and they're sitting to be mekayim kiyim shtaros. You need a bezdin in order to verify the signatures of the eidim. Umeis echad mehen, and they're sitting to do this kiyim shtaros, but they didn't do it. And one of the dayanim dies. All you have left is two. Can a two-man bezdin be Mekayim Shtar or not? So the Gemara says, V'dilma Rabbanan de Rav Ashi kis Shmuel Svir Lahu. The Gemara says, what? You can get away with two? What is this Shmuel? Mashma, it seems in the Gemara, there ain't halacha kis Shmuel. So how can the Bahag say the halacha is like Shmuel when the Gemara in Ksuvis seems to say that we don't paskin like Shmuel? So Tosa says, for the Bahag, Hachi Perusha, this is what it means. Kis Shmuel bi'alma Svir Lahu. Bekiyum, ubezeh ein alacha kemoso. Da'afil Rav Nachman dekoy kishmuel deshnayim shadonu dineim din moda dekim shtaros begimel. An amazing Tosas. Tosas says that basically, if we could cut through the details for a moment, what Tosas basically says is, even if you hold like Shmuel that shnayim shadonu dineim din, there are going to be exceptions. It's not going to work for everything. It's not going to work for Kiyum Shtaros. Then Tosis goes on and says, gives a second example, the Chain. Oh, one second. Where am I? Yeah, Kida Amar Beperek Cheskus Abatim. The Chain, Hod Amar Beperek Zeborer, Gabe Odisa. Odisa is also a kind of a formal Kenyan through admission. The Gemara there says, "V'dilma Rabbanan de Beir of Ashi kishmuel sviru lahu." Again, it sounds like the Gemara thinks clearly we don't paskin like Shmuel. What's the Bahag going to do with that Gemara? Asam Nami says Tosas on Kepirusho. Kishmuel bialma sviraluhu beodisa the kosvu boda bifnei shnayim below kinyan ubezeh in alacha kimoso kedamar hasam bifnei shnayim bekonim yado kosvin bifnei shalosh kosvin afil lo konim yado kinfarshasam the kavai duchta the kavi duchta v'sholchim zamile. So kinyan odisa and kinyan about which ein tzorich lomar ksovu, according to the Gemara, requires a three-man bezdin. And Tosis is explaining, even according to Shmuel, it requires a three-man bezdin. Right? So how come Tosis is giving us two exceptions? One is kiyum shtaros, the other is kinyan odisa. Right? Where even Shmuel's hala, even if you hold like Shmuel, you're not going to hold like Shmuel in this. How come? The Rosh and the Chiddush Aran disagree with the Bali Tosas Chilukin. The Shach in Chosha Mishpat, Simen Men Vav and Simen Gimel, all sorts of different places, discusses Kiyum Shtaros and Kabbalah's Eidot. There's an interesting discussion of the Ramban. Ramban in Ksuvis on Chof Aleph on Beis says, if you hold like Ravacha Brei Dravika, right, that Yachid Mumche, I'm sorry, that Yachid Mumchel Rabim or Yachid can be done Yechidi, can he be Mekabel Eidus on his own? Or for Kabbalah Eidus, does everybody agree that you require a three-man best? Strange. In other words, you could render the Psak with one, but you have to interview the Eidim, according to one day or one or 2 days in the Ramban, you have to interview the Eidim with three. Like, why? But if we take the view, there could be other explanations. But if we take the view that there's a difference between, you know, din or hora on the one hand and chetz shel bezin on the other, then that could be a ready explanation for what Tosis is saying in the name of the Bahag. Meaning, when it comes to kiyum shtaros, when it comes to kinyan odisa, according to one day in the Ramban, when it comes to kabbalas edus, just as for the Rambam, when it comes to Huchsa, Kafron, and Hodas, Baldin, Kimedim, Dami, these are dinim that depend not on a Dayan who has the capacity to be Mora Hora, to be done, but on a Chepsa Shalbezdin. Right? Similarly, the Rishonim discuss, what about a Ger? Right? According to Rav Acha Brei Dravika, it can be Megayer bifnei Yachid Mumcha? Probably not. Now again, we do know that you can be Matir Nedarim, right, with a Yachid Mumcha L'Rabim, right? And Hu Adin Legabe Bechor, Heter Mumin of a Bechor. Indeed, there's even a day in the Gemara in Balvasra, in Kuf Chav Aleph, and again, in Bechoros, Slamet Zayin, and the Gemara's in the Darim, Rishonim and the Darim talk about this. There's one day in the Gemara that says, that, and this is the answer, that if you have a Yachid Mumcha, you can't even use Gimel Hadyotos, even if you want to. Okay, so when it comes to the Darim and Bechoros, we actually prefer a Yachid Mumcha. But will it work in Geirus? Will it work in Kiddush HaChodesh? That's an interesting question. Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, Adaf Chofei Amid Beis, that Yachid Mumchal Rabim, they quote our Gemara in Daf Hei about Yachid Mumchal Rabim. The Gemara says, maybe Yachid Mumchal Rabim should work in Kiddush HaChodesh. The Havamina is very fascinating. It sounds like they think, clearly, in the Havamina and the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, that a Yachid Mumchal Rabim is a walking one-man bezdin. Because Kiddush HaChodesh isn't a horah. Kiddush HaChodesh is a Maisa Bezdin.
But you also need the interrogation of Eidim.
Okay, good. So whatever we say about Kabbalah Seidus, we'll either you need three for that, maybe, or not. Those are the 2 days in the Ramban. Fine. But we're not sure. Those are 2 days in Ramban. We'll have to work it out. But Kiddush HaChodesh presumably requires a Bezdin, right? So the Gemara's Havamina clearly was that Yachid Mumcha is a Bezdin. The question is, What about Lamaskan? So the Gemara says, well, who was, you know, bigger mumcha than Moshe Rabbeinu? You know, and he had Aaron with him, right? And then there's a discussion in the Rishonim, it was just Moshe and Aaron, and what about the fact that they were Krovim? Isn't that a problem? Right? And Bali Tosa say, it was Moshe and Aaron, but you need to, we'll get to this, our next topic. You need a Bezen Nota, so probably there was a third one there too. Right? So that's how you know that you need a Bezen and Kiddush HaKhod. Either way, the Matskana, the Gemara does not think that a Yachid, Mumche, the Ravacha, Beit Ravika, would work for Kiddush HaKhodesh.
Kiddush HaKhodesh, you don't have Balei Dinam at Kiddush HaKhodesh.
Right, that's a Maisa Bezdin. Right, so that, on the contrary, you need a Chatzah Shal Bezdin there. So the Hava Mina, you could do that with the Yachid Mumcha, is so important. But the Maskana may be, like, what will Ravacha Beit Ravika do with the Maskana? The answer is, Ravacha Beit Ravika will tell you, according to the Rambam and according to Bali Tosis, I never said that a one man, a mumcha, is a walking bezdin. What did I say? That dino din, that he's able to be mora hora. What does that have to do with Kiddush HaKhodesh? Or no bali dinim? He's not paskening. Right? So that's exactly the point. So this is a major, major argument, a major debate.
The issue of Tohu Yishalmu would all depend on Mizraha versus Maisa.
Maybe. But Tohu Yishalmu is an issue, as we'll see later on, we got to Daf Hey, even in Yisur V'Heter. So that's Tosis points that out on Daf Hey, that because the Gemara there says Yora, like, so what do you need Smukim for that? Right? So Bali Tosis said, what do you mean, what do you need Smukim for Tola Yishalmu? So that's an interesting parallel, because that's Horah. Okay, anyways, the point I'm trying to make is that there is this large debate, generally. So again, Rishonim who say that, well, that's because we don't paskin like Ravacha Beit Ravika. But Ravacha Beit Ravika means thinks that a Bezdin can be a one-man Bezdin. The Rosh, quoted by the Tur, says, L'chol advarim. If you hold like Ravacha Beit Ravika, it should work L'chol advarim. And the Rishonim will hold that way. The Rajba, Shiran, others. But clearly, according to the Rambam, Bali Tosfos, not that way. I'm just suggesting that maybe it's not a coincidence that Tosfos, who also was Mechalek, even within Ravacha Beit Ravika, between different dinim, it depends whether or not you need a Horah of the dinim Mamanis, that a one-man bez judge, one judge could do. It can be more Horah. But whenever you need a Chetzah Shel Bezdin, even Ravacha Beit Ravika thinks you need three. So is it a coincidence that Tosfos felt that even Ravacha Beit Ravika can live with Eruv Parshios? Meaning, what does it mean even? What it means is, Eruv Parshios. The definition of Bezdin is always three. I betzedek tishpat amisecha. That's hurrah. That's a totally different din. And they're nafkamina. Yeah.
Why are we only going in one direction with the Eruv Parshios? Why can't you go from the Gozo Havos and be Muhammad on the Gzolos?
Well, because we have Elohim, Elohim, Elohim in the Gzolos of Havos.
But you have to Beset Vishra Misecha, so you have to make it compatible with Gzolos Havos too?
No, because that's Todos Havos. I mean, we always... Eruv Parshios doesn't mean that there are no Chilukim. It just means that if you don't have other evidence... Or if it's a definitional thing, then you'll export it. But of course, we understand that there should be differences between, just like there are differences between Mamanus and Nefashos, even though we say Mishpat Echad Yelakem, there'll be differences between, you know, within Dine Mamanus, even though you say Erev Parshios. But that still doesn't mean that we wouldn't like to explain the overlap in a more elegant, you know, and efficient, you know, unified theory kind of way, which is what we're trying to do. Yeah.
We'll go back to Tosfos. Even if you hold Shnayim Shadonim, the name Din, there are two exceptions.
Kiyum Shtaros and Odisa.
Now, is Kiyum Shtaros, are we talking about Shtari Gittin? Is that why? Because there we can see an exception.
Doesn't have to be Gittin.
Because that has to do with Arroyos.
No. He's talking about regular Kiyum Shtaros here. Shtar Halvah, Shtar Mecher. Anytime the Bezdin's function is to verify, to authenticate another Shtar, and Dinei Mamanis also. That's called Kiyum Shtaros.
Why are these exceptions? We didn't dwell on that. Why
no, because these are not Bezdin. Again, like you said before, there are no Bali Dinim. It's not a question of paskening.
Right.
It's where you need Bezdin in its function as a kind of a formalizing, you know, body. So they're the ones who formalize that this is an authentic shtar. They're in charge of that. Like Geirus, what I was saying before also. Geirus or Kiddush HaChodesh are proclamations. They are, you need the weight or the stature of the court in order to formalize, you know, Kiddush HaChodesh, to formalize Geirus. It's not a psak where you have Balei Dinim and you have to figure out the halacha, or you have to be machria, like you said before, between Balei Dinim. That's horah. Horah means you have a circumstance and you're trying to figure out what the halacha is. Chafsa Shel Bezdin would be a case, aside from horah, in other words, where you need the authority or the gushpanka of the Bezdin, and that's what you have in even in Kinyan Odisa. There's no question of ascertaining the fact so much. A little bit in Kiddush HaChodesh about, of course, you also need to know the facts, right? And in Geirus there are standards. But the requirement of the Bezdin is not to paskin on the standards. In the end of the day, it's to make the formal proclamation and to give stature to the conclusion of the court. The court has sanctioned, the court has proclaimed, and that's a din in Bezdin, not a din in Horah. Good. Now, So this is part of the issue. Who are these hedyotos? Let's talk about that for a moment. So if you look at the Rush on the spot, in the back of the Gemara, what is the level required of the Gimel Hedyotos? So look at Perek Aleph Simin Aleph. Towards the end, Ravacha Bred Ravika Amar Midaraisa Chad Nami Kosher. The Sibetanik Tishman Amisachav Yapagav De Amar Eir Parshas Kosef Kan Ashmin and Ikra. The Betzadik Tishbo De Leinan Adayonim Lo Nisarvu Vafili Yakin Hedid Yachol Adun. Fine. Midrabanan Hitzrichu Gimel Mishum Yoshve Kronos. Midrabanan, you require three because of the problem of Yoshve Kronos. Aval Bishlosha Yefshar Deleis Buchad De Gamir. Right? With when you have three, one of them will be fine. O she shama, o kara besvarim, v'yodea svaros hadayanim, or sorry, hadinim, sorry. Aval yileis buchad de gamir, psuli ladina, kinemucha perek zabor, tzan zeh posa dayan l'shol zeh, parach migwar kol kemine, mishani bar kos shebesuria, pirch rashi hayu yoshve kronos. Afagav the pliger abana levi amra emesai bezman shemevi rai shem psule malav achilo hanadafka gabi arkoz shenisman uliyoz dayanim. Okay, the Gemara there has a discussion. Let's say somebody was appointed as an informal judge, even though he's not really qualified. You know, that might be different. But what's important about the Rush is as follows: the Rush is a literal constructionist here of the Gemara, meaning. The Gemara says you need three dayanim if you paskin like a Rabacha Brei Ravika. Why? So you can get one gamir. So for the Rush, you better have that gamir. If you have a bezdin of hedyotos and you know for sure that there's not even a single gamir, we don't rely on the Gemara in a bigger way. Ef shard leisbu gamir. If we know there's no gamir, it's not going to work. That's the Rush's view, and that's why the Rush is quoted in Shulchan Aruch. However, others require even more. The Yad Ramah's view was that what you require are gimel gmiri. Lahalachi required three, not one gamir, but three gmiri. Gmiri means the very knowledgeable. Rav David Bonfil, I mentioned it before, quoted by the Ran, holds one gamir, two sviri. Sviri are not yoshvei kronos. Right? It means they go to regular shir. They know good svara when they hear it. They know a bad svara when they hear it, which is even more important. Meaning they can participate intelligently in a masomatan, right, that is obviously dominated by the Gamir. So the question is this. These three views, right? One Gamir, you know, two Yoshrei Kronos. One Gamir, two Sviri. Three Gmiri are very different. Halacha, they're very different. But what's fascinating is if you look at the... two things are interesting. Number one, there's a discussion about the status of the Gimel Hadyotos, not only in Din, but also in Bechoros and in Darim. You have exactly the same discussion. Yad Ramah in Bava Masra says you need Gimel Gmiri in the Hedyotos of Ataris Nadarim and Bechor. And some of the other Rishonim there say no. You need one Gamir and two Sviri. Right? And others say, no, you just need one Gamir. There's a debate in the Rishonim there whether or not it's exactly equal, whatever you say in one, you say in the other, or whether or not to be mechalek between Nedarim and Bechoros on one hand and Din on the other hand, and if so, to make it more complicated, I'm not going to go and analyze all this right now, in which direction is there a difference? Like, is it easy? Do you have higher requirements for the Hedyotos of Dine Mominus or for the Hedyotos of Bechor and Nedar?
Is there only eye of the beholder if you're a Gamir or not?
No. Presumably there is a standard to be a Gamir. And what that standard is still discussed, but it means, you know, to be very knowledgeable, a capable Dayan. However, that's defined, but it's definitely not just in the eyes of the beholder. Now, what's interesting is, I said before, there's a day in the Gemara of Yehuda who says that when it comes to Bechoros and Nedarim, if you had a Yachid Mumcha L'Rabim, right, that would be preferable Ad Kedei Kach, that maybe you can't even use Gimel Hadyotos. There's a debate among the Rishon, the Ramban and the Ran say, that's just L'Chatchila. We don't really mean that B'diyah. Simple shot in the Gemara is the other way. Why? The category in the Darim and in Bechoros is really Yachin Mumcha L'Rabim. What's the Parsha in the Darim?
Canaan.
What?
It's Canaan.
Matos. It's in Parsha's Matos. Roshe Amatos. Yeah. Right? That's what the Rashi points out there. And all the Rishonim are struggling. That's what the Ramban explains. That when did the Torah ever speak to the Roshe Matos? When it addresses halachos. And Moshe Rabbeinu, Klal Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu to Klal Yisrael. Here, all of a sudden, just the Rashi Matos? So the Ramban says, because Ataris Nedarim, the Ikar category is Yochid Mumcha L'Rabim. It's the Rashi Matos. That's why Rabbi Yehuda thought, whether it's Daraisa or Drabanan, it's even more sensational if it's Daraisa, that if you have Rashi Matos, you can't even use Gibel Hadyotos. It's the opposite way. In Din, the category is Bezdin and three. Rav Acher ben Ravika said you can get away with one. Or Midrabanan, they said you can get away with a Yachin Mumcha L'Rabim, even according to Rava. Right? But the Ikar category, the classic Bezdin in Dine Mamanus, even in Dine Mamanus, is
three.
But in Bechoros and the Darim, the classic category is one. Why? Because that's also not exactly... It's not just Gili Milsa, but it's certainly not Chafsa Shel Bezdin. What is it? It's a horah to figure out what's a Ta'us, what's a Pesach, what's a Charata, without going into the details of Pesach and Charata right now. Right? You need a good psychologist, halachic psychologist for that. Right? To be Matir or to be Koveya, the Hagdara of a Pesach or a Charata, each of which is a different kind of Ta'us for Nedarim. Or to be Koveya, Mumei, Bechor. So the idea that the Gimel Hadyot, basically what I'm trying to explain is, in Nedarim and Bechoros, Gimel Hadyotos are a substitute for Yachid Mumcha. In a fundamental way. According to Rava, Yachid Mumcha and Dine Mamun, Ulu Rabim and Dine Mamun, this is a substitute for Gimel Dayanin. But according to Rav Acha Ben Ravika, it's something in between, right? Because on the one hand, this the prime category of Gimel is a Chetzeshel Bezdin, and as a Bezdin, which is functional, in anything but Hodos Valvos is still Gimel. On the other hand, Rav Acha Ben Ravika thinks that Midoraisa, Yachid works. So is the Gimel Hedyotos a substitute for the Yachid Mumcha like in the Darim and Bechoros? Or the other way? So what's fascinating is, if you look at the Rishonim's debate or discussion, like what do you need, what are these Gimel Hedyotos, and what the relationship is to Din, it's not so clear whether they're talking about Rava or Rav Acha Ben Ravika. Both Rava and Rav Acha Ben Ravika agree that Gimel Hedyotos work, especially in Hodos V'Halvos. But what I'm arguing is that it's quite possible that the Gimel Hedyotos of Rav Acha Ben Ravika is fundamentally different than the Gimel Hedyotos of Rava. Because the framework is totally different. Right? For Rava, this is a huge kula, and we're trying to substitute for Gimel Smuchim. And for Rav Acha Ben Ravika, on a certain level at least, right, the Gimel Hedyotos are an exchange for Yachid Mumcha. It also may matter whether it's Yachid Samuch or Yachid Mumcha. Either way, it's interesting. The Rambam doesn't mention it at all. Rambam passes like Rav Acha Ben Ravika, and the Rambam mentions Gimel Hedyotos, but the Rambam does not mention what those Hedyotos are. He doesn't say whether they're Gmiri, Gmiri Sviri. Very unclear. Now, how does the Gemiri and the Seviri work? That too is interesting. Is it that almost like you have an Av Bezdin and, you know, and two people who are his assistants and sounding boards? Or is it that it's like a unit? Now, does the Gemir provide information that all three are equal? Well, he knows the halakha. They know a good svara. Between his actual knowledge and their ability to join in the analysis, you have three dayanim. Or is it, there are three ways to look at it. Or is it that he's like the chief dayan, and they're there to kind of be sounding boards? Or is it that there's a unit called the Bezdin, it needs a certain ingredients, right, including knowledge and analysis, and it's a jumble, it's a mix, it's a smorgasbord of all the three.
Who ranks higher, Gemiri or Sviri?
Oh, Gemiri. Gemiri are assumed to be Gemiri and Sviri. Although in the real world, it doesn't have to be that way. But, you know, let's assume for the moment that Gemiri are Gemiri and Sviri. What we're saying about Sviri is they don't have the knowledge base, but they have enough, and they've been around enough, that they have a good enough instinct that they can contribute. Yep. What I'm saying is, given the Gemiri, the Sviri are equal, or the Sviri are always secondary to the Gemiri, or it's a group. Now, for example, what will happen
the principal opposes,
if the Gemiri opposes, one Gemir opposes the two Sviri?
Yeah, but opposing means Aktanim. By the basis.
That's Nefashos.
Oh, but
Momus
doesn't apply at all?
I don't think so. I think it's one man. Losan al Rib, Losan al Rab.
What's the point of analyzing if you don't know the Svara? If you don't know the Halacha?
Right, Losan al Rib, Losan al Rab. It's
a
Nefashot
thing. I mean,
isn't
there one die and one vote?
What do you mean one die and one vote?
In other words, that's.
Yeah. So the Pashtus, we say, but Pashtus, we, as we'll soon see, it's majority rules in a Din Torah and Din Imamunas, right? But the question that Achronim ask us, for example, according to the Rush, you could have two Yoshvei Kronos and one Yachin Mumcha, right? So in theory, let's say you did. No, the other two don't need to be Sviri. So according to the Rush, what? And if the two Yoshvei Kronos outvote the Yachin Mumcha? They're only there because Bishlam, according to this again, there's a here. There could be a huge difference between Rava and Rav Acha ben Ravika, because for Rava it's Gimel Dayan. But for Rav Acha ben Ravika, if it's just a mechanism to ensure the one, so let's say you know the one, you know who he is. But Midrabanan, they insist to have two compatriots. So he votes a certain way, and the other two vote against him. You're going to go for the two Yoshvei Kronos. The only reason that they're there is to make sure that the Yachin Mumka is there, according to Rav Acha ben Ravika, according to the Rosh. So it's interesting. There's a tshuva in the Tshuvas Gonim Kadmonim where they do seem to say this, that if you know, you can't always know who's who. But if you actually, even in the Gemara, say, Yafshar Deleis Buchad, let's say you don't know who he is, though. Assuming if there were three, it'll be fine. Right? But we don't know. Let's say we did know. So they say, yeah, it seemed to say, yeah, the one will override the three. The two. But Rabbeinu Yonah, and that mission in Avos, Al Tihi Dan Yechidi, right, She'en Yechidi Ela Echad. So most of the Mefarshim interpret that refers to the Rabbeinu Shalala. Right? And either they think it's a Hilchos Deah, it's a Gaiva thing, that even if you hold like a Rav Acha ben Ravika, or even if Midrabanan Yom Chid Mumcha L'Rabim is good, but you know, you should try to have a broader base bezin. Only the Rabbeinu Shalom should have that much confidence in himself. Right? How that fits in with Rav Acha ben Ravika, or is it separate from him? That's a debate. You have to look at Rashi there and the Rambam there. But the Rabbeinu Yonah is even more fascinating. Rabbeinu Yonah says, no, that's not the second. One day in Rabbeinu Yonah. Says the pshat in the second part is that what happens if you have one against the two, and the one is like, you know, pulling out all the stops. He's a great, you know his powers of persuasion, you know, his debating skills, his rhetoric is just off the charts. Some people are that, like, you know, they can, you know, they're just very, very talented in that area, as we know. So, so what the Rabbeinu Yonah says, that's the pshat in the Mishnah. When you have three dayanim, right, the one should not take advantage, you know, and kind of force his view, even rhetorically, that, again, where does a good argument, Mechamta Shel Torah, you know, the fight for truth, which we'll discuss in any of that, that's a very crucial thing too. We want there to be heated debate. Even a certain fierce, you know, competitive aspect of it. Where does that stop and the search for common truth begin? So Rabbeinu Yonah says, that's the pshat in the Mishnah. The one, even if he's convinced that he's right, he has to know when to ease up and to respect the decision of the majority. It's an interesting issue. But you might say that for the Rosh, if you knew who the one Mumcha as opposed to the two Yoshvei Kronos are, that might be a different story. On the other hand, if you had three Gemiri, that's not an issue. Let's say you have the Chad Gomer Ben's the two Sviri. As far as I know, we still think that the voting is majority. So these are all really very interesting issues that you know, that would come up. Okay. I'm not going to go to the details of the Darim and all that, but let's leave it at that. Okay. Let's talk about the next Gemara quickly. There was a question, or are we good? Yeah.
So, with all these contradictions, I'm trying to reconcile the Rambam with Ravika.
Acha ben Ravika.
So, why did they reach that way? Why didn't they say that the Rambam was like rubber? Because the Rambam said that...
No, because he says that you...
Three are needed for the
Rambam says clearly that Yachid Shadon Minat Torah in Hodos V'Avos works because of B'tzedek Tishpat Amisacha. That's Rav Acha ben Ravika. He's quoting Rav Acha ben Ravika. I mean, the words of the Rambam in Perek Beis, Halacha Yud...
And why, that can't be reconciled with Rava?
No, Rava said...
He was talking about Rava's whole Rav. He wouldn't talk... even Rava would agree...
But he doesn't. I mean, Rava, in the Gemara contrasts Rava and Rav Acha ben Ravika. The Gemara says there are two ways to read why Hodos v'Havos are different than Gzelos v'Chavalos. One way is Rava, and one way is Rav Acha ben Ravika. The Rava way is that that's only Midrabanan, Because midaraisa, everybody requires three smuchim for everything. The Rav Acha Brei Dravika way is that hodos vavos midaraisa, you could get away with one. The Gemara has Rava and Rav Acha Brei Dravika as being opposites. And the Rambam paskins, afa pi she'ein bez and pachas mishlosha, that's the problem part. Mutter le'echad ladun mina Torah, that's against Rava, because Rava said mina Torah you can only have three smuchim. Shenemar b'tzedek tishpor dam yisachar, that's a quote of Rav Acha Brei Dravika.
So why can't you say that Rava would agree to one in a different context?
But he doesn't. He doesn't. His whole point is that all Rava says is Erev Parshios Ksiv Kan, and if it wasn't for Ne'ilas Deles, you would always need three smuchim, even in Hodos Vavos. That's what he says. That's why the Gemara says that according to him, for sure, Shmuel's din is no good. The Gemara basically contrasts Rav Acha Brei Dravika and Rava. The Rambam paskins like Rav Acha Brei Dravika, even quotes the pasuk of Rav Acha Brei Dravika and the din of Rav, but he still seems to be clinging to the idea of a three-man bezdin. How could that be? So that's what we're trying to explain, that there are two dinim. According to Rav Acha Brei Dravika, there are two dinim. According to Rava, there doesn't seem to be two dinim. It seems to be only one din. Yeah?
Yeah, just according to Rav Acha Brei Dravika, when the Gemara asked the Kasha about Minato Tolo Yishamu, Koshkin and the Fishi Yoshikronos, but the Chad de Gomer should be exempt.
If we could identify him.
Okay, so.
I think the problem is the Efshar. If we could identify him, we wouldn't be worried about the Oshrei Kronos either.
Yes.
That's what I'm saying. In the
Pasuk in Rashi, and you'll know who the Chad Gomer and who the Oshrei Kronos are.
Apparently not so easy. I don't know whether everybody was shy or Tzuba Merabanan or the Oshrei Kronos were a little more knowledgeable than. But it seems from the Gemara that that's not the case. Yeah.
I'm not sure I understand this. You're saying a priori they can't identify who the Gomer is? So statistically they say, grant me.
I wouldn't say they can't identify. What I would say is they were concerned that if you just required one, that, the ability to enforce this or to police it, would be compromised. Because a lot of times people would say, that's what somebody trying to explain it. They have it in Torah, you can do it with one. This guy comes to shul every morning, he's from the Oshrei Kronos. The Oshrei Kronos are people, they're around. So after shul, we're going to get this din Torah, taken care of. So I go to shul, every morning, right? Some of the people are very, very nice. We have some Gmiri and Smiri, but there are a lot of Yoshvei Kronos too. You wouldn't want them to be done in, you would be happy to give them an aliyah, that's something else. But want them to decide your Dine Torah.
So we're saying that if you take three random Yoshvei Kronos, statistically, one of them.
That's what I was trying to explain before. I don't think it's in the. I don't think the point is that 33% of the Jewish population are Gemiri. I think the point is that once you have tell three people that they're gonna that one person can't do it, without transparency, like in Fiddler on the Roof, there's going to be two other people sitting there. That's already psychologically and substantively going to narrow the kind of people who, if you have to look at the other guy and he might know a little more than you, or might know how little you know, then, I know I'm not qualified for this. It's going to help, provide a little bit of filtering for the, enough that there's no problem? Probably not, but between the three, there's going to be a sense of calm. Or maybe you could say, instead of saying it in the way that I'm saying it, maybe it's the other way. Maybe, no one will I know, I'll leave it that way. That's probably what they really meant, to be honest. Yeah.
So you're saying that the filtering is within the three, or that the fact that we now require three, some people will no longer...
I was saying the second.
Okay.
I was saying if anybody can put out their shingle and say, I'm a Dayan, or if somebody comes in and says, can you be done our case? You come to shul every morning, probably you're not just a pious man, which you come to shul every morning, you certainly are, but you must be a knowledgeable man too. So, what's he going to say? I'm not a knowledgeable man, or maybe he thinks he is, but if he has to sit down next to somebody who really is a knowledgeable man, or just next to somebody who knows that he's not, he's going to say, this is not something I'm qualified for. I'm explaining it that way.
Yeah, it's harder to reach the Gemara that way. Now.
How? Why is it so hard? Of course, it's the easiest way to read the Gemara would be to say that 30% of the Jewish community are Gemara. I'm just saying, is that really credible? So, assuming that isn't credible, so if you ask me, the next best way to read it is the way I'm suggesting, which is that once you increase this, it gives it a whole different tzura, and that in itself filters out a lot of the problems. Okay, so let's go on to the next Gemara. Next Gemara is really fascinating Gemara, but we're just going to run through it very, very quickly because we really want to get to Bez Notet. So the next Gemara says as follows. Nezek v'chatzi, in the Mishnah, says Nezek v'chatzi Nezek, right, b'shlosha. If you remember the Mishnah, right, the Mishnah said, Dini Mamunis b'shlosha, that was Hodos Valvos, Gzelus v'chavalus b'shlosha, that we discussed a little bit, and then Nezek v'chatzi Nezek, tashume kefal, tashume dalad v'hei, b'shlosha, and then Onus v'fata, Motsi Shemra b'shlosha, etc. Okay, good. So the question that the Gemara asks is, Nezek v'chatzi Nezek, the Gemara says, Nezek hainu chaval. That's an interesting Gemara, actually. Nezek hainu chavalos. Why repeating Nezek? Nezek is already included in chabalos. So Rashi says that what that means is chabalos, hainu nezek, hainu chabalos, a different gear, so a little bit, just the same idea. My kari nezek, my kari chabalos. Ha nezek, echad mi chamisha dvarim, shel chabalosu. The listener chabalos, the Lord boy, nezek. Basically, the way Rashi reads the Gemara, because we know that nezek and chabalos, usually nezek, especially in this context, means nezek. It means damage. I mean, some animal destroyed my property, or you destroyed my property. That's called nezek. But what the Gemara, the way Rashi is interpreting the Gemara, because the Gemara is difficult, is what the Gemara really means is that fundamentally, right, the concept of nezek has already been dealt with under the rubric of chabalos. Because chov chaveros chay mishum chamisha dvarim benezek betzar beripui b'sheves and boshes. The nezek is the classical damages part, really. So what do we need? It seems superfluous to be speaking about this. Now, of course, we put a little bit of investment, in this Gemara, so it's a little bit jarring for us to read this line, because one of the things I was trying to explain was that nezek is a quid pro quo. Meaning, nezek is very logical. If I damage your property, whether it's me or my animal, somebody, something I'm responsible for, so of course I should, I caused you a $100 loss, of course I should pay you $100. Chavalah is a little trickier. That's how I was trying to explain why it's a different category. Why? Because it's clouded a little bit. See, on the one hand, it's worse, right? Which is worse, beating somebody up, or destroying his field? Obviously, bodily damage is worse. But because it's worse, it's also just different. Meaning, it's bound up, and that clouds the issue, with a maisavera, with being a rasha, with, can you really put a price tag? It's not finite in the same way, exactly. Meaning, $100 is $100. That's what I mean by quid pro quo. I'm not just trying to be, difficult. What I mean is, it's a straight relationship. It's easy to calculate. It's easy to understand, right? Chavalah is easy to understand in one sense, except that it's so easy to understand that it becomes difficult to understand. Meaning, because there's so much else involved with it, It's almost like a kamle bedraba mine. One of the things we tried to explain was that the Kabbalah of Nezek is a little bit of, you know, ayin takas ayin mamish, even a little bit of shaman bedemazik. It's a little bit of kofar involved in it. I mean, really, what's going on there is not, oh, $100, you know, hand it, write me a check. You could write a check for poking out my eye, my ear, my whatever it is, or even just causing me physical pain. I mean, that's, you know, nitan l'tashlumin. You know, maybe not. So in a way, it's a little bit like blood money, right? It's the money I'm really paying for the eye, my eye, right? That should be. So in a way, when we hear, when we read this Gemara, Nezek, Hainu Chavalos, well, we mean it, so in a way, it's more like a Kavachomer than it is anything else. What we're saying is, oh, you're Chayev Chavalos, and that's a Dine Mamanis, the Gimel, so certainly that's going to be true for Nezek, which is that's quid pro quo. Right? Rashi, in a way, and I'll just highlight it even further, the Rambam has a very famous Shita, very difficult Shita, about, you know, Chavala, and even about the Nezek of Chavala. The Rambam seems to say that the Nezek of Chavala is subject to the din of Moda Biknas Potur, which we normally reserve for Knossos. But we've seen that a lot of, there's an overlap between Zeus and Chavalos, especially the Chavalos part, and Knossos. So you have to look very carefully. The Rambam's in Perikei Hilchos Chovel Amazik and in Perikei of Hilchos Sanhedrin. In both cases, the Rambam's overlapping in Xelos and Chavalos, especially in Chavalos, to Knossos, is very apparent. It's very difficult, very apparent. It comes a little bit from his Rebbe, the Rimigash, the way he interpreted certain Gemaras in Masechet Shavuos, and the Rambam extended it. So it's very, when we read this Gemara here, it's a little bit, but what's really interesting also about it is that the Nezek here is also not in Hodos V'Havos. It's in Knossos. It's Nezek, and then Chatzi Nezek. So in a way, even as we're like jarred a little bit by thinking, the Gemara is saying, you know, Nezek kind of Chavalos, what do you mean? It's much less than Chavalos. But the real point is, the Nezek in the context of Knossos, right? What's it doing in Knossos? That's part of the story here. And that's the Gemara's answer. The Gemara says, Mishum dekaboy lemisne chatzi Nezek, therefore tani nami Nezek Shalem. So that's the next line of the Gemara. Perfect. So the Gemara says, Chatzi Nezek Nami Hainu Chavalos. What do you mean, Chatzi Nezek's also obvious? Because you damaged $100 worth, at least the 50 you could pay and should pay. Right? So the Gemara says, Tana Mamona Uktani Knasa. The Chatzi Nezek is not quid pro quo at all. It's not that, you know, you damaged, therefore you paid. Really, you should be potter for the chatzi nezek, because that's only a knas, because you had no way of protecting against it, or it wasn't your responsibility to think that this animal was going to have this, you know, kind of temperament, and therefore it's not a lack of shmira. So tana mamono k'tani knasa. So the Gemara says immediately, heni chalaman damar palgan iska knasa. Exactly what you said. That's if you hold that chatzi nezek is a knas, but that's a debate in the Gemara. Elamanda amar palgan iska mamona, Michael Amemar. But if you hold that it's the opposite, really you should be paying the whole amount, right? And we gave you a chas mamona, chas rachmana alei for the half. So then that's not exactly correct. Although I must add, you know, again, this is not we're not living Bava Kama here, so I'm not going to speak more about it than this, but. You know, it seems like the Mandamar Chatzi Nezek Knas and Chatzi Nezek Mamon are saying opposite things. And in one respect, of course, they are. In the sense that the one who says Chatzi Nezek Knas is saying you should be Pata Legamri. The fact that you even pay half, that's a Knas. You don't deserve even that. And the other one's saying you should pay 100%, right? But Chas Rachmana, Aleph, right? But you have to ask yourself a little bit the question, and there's a lot of evidence in the Sugyas and Bava Kama that what I'm saying is true, and that is, these are really opposite views, or in a way they share more than they're different. Because you have to ask yourself at the end of the day, why did the Torah make a knas, right, dafka for chatzi nezek, for tam, in other words, or, and, Why did the Torah, if it really felt that it was Mamona, why did they choose this case, Dafka, to be Chas Rachmana Lei? They weren't Chas Rachmana Lei on Shane and Regel. Right? So in a way, the Mandamar, Chatzin Ezek Knas and Chatzin Ezek Mamon, both seem to have ambivalent feelings about how much Shmira is required. On one hand, is the history of this animal, temperamentally, is not sufficient, right, to substantially require Shmira such that you should be Chayiv Legamri. Right? On the other hand, it's the kind of an animal where this can happen, and a little bit of, you know, extra care, which is apparently more than Lefnim Meshuras Hadin. So, in one sense, you know, it's Chas Rachmana Lei from the Mamonist point of view, meaning, you know, not every, it doesn't have a track record, you know, so maybe this particular lion is, you know, well, I think that's also Mishnais and Gemara's Bava Kama. You know, what really is a tam, and when do you require three for a tam? You know, which animals and so on. But the point is, it's not the gap between the Mandamar Chatzin Nezek Knas and Chatzin Nezek Mamon is actually much smaller than it appears. These are not opposite. They're opposite conclusions, but they share a lot about both the assessment of Tam as a case and especially the legal perspective on when we should, you know, demand more of you and when we should be giving you a break, even though there's a seeming quid pro quo. Okay. And all of that is relevant to what kind of dayanim and what kind of din we're talking about when we talk about a din. So I'm just going to read a couple more lines because we're... The Gemara says as follows. El aidi de kabay lemisne tashlume kefa v'tashlume dao dehei de mamon she'ena mishtalim b'roshu tananami chatzi nezek de mamon she'ena mishtalim b'roshu. The aidi de kabay lemisne chatzi nezek tani nami tananami nezek. So just to leave you with this idea, maybe we'll speak about it for 5 minutes next time, and then we're going to go on to the next Gemara, Bezenote. And that is, the Gemara here equates two opposite Eina Mishtalim Mirosh cases of Knas. One is Chatzi Nezek of Tam, where the Knas is less than the quid pro quo, and the other is Tashlume Kefo V'dalad V'hei, where you're paying multiples of the quid pro quo. So again, that's very similar to what I just said. On the one hand, these seem to be opposites. You're paying less, you're paying much more. Are you paying a fraction? You're paying a multiple. But they share something very much in common. Right? Right? In the sense that they're both working with the category of the Nezek. The Chatzi and the double or the four and the five are manifestations of the full Nezek. Right? Just one in fraction form, the other in multiple form. And surely that's significant too. So I'm going to speak just a couple minutes next time about Kepo Dal Behei and Chatzi Nezek and show you that they have some unique properties in the world of Knossos. Then maybe we'll get back to this one. And then we'll move on to Bezenote, which is a very important topic.